like, I would do a better job of this. Like, oh, they're so unprofessional with this. I would do such a better job. Like, when you're starting to say that to yourself a lot, that's when you gotta go. That's when you gotta maybe stop being so bitter and do it yourself, because
there's... I love that.
Ooh, it's about to get juicy in here.
Welcome back to TK's Juicy Pod. I am here today with influencer and graphic designer, Katie Bilotti.
Hi.
Hi. I'm very excited to record with Katie. I mean, obviously, where are you right now? Home?
I'm currently in Maryland. So yeah, home, I guess you could say.
Home. But you live in New York City.
Yes, my heart is currently in New York, even though my body is in Maryland.
And you are literally, like, when people ask me, like, who they should follow on Instagram, I'm like, oh my gosh, you have to follow this girl. Her name's Katie Bilotti. She's literally the real life Carrie Bradshaw. Like, I'm not kidding.
I like to think I'm the better version of Carrie Bradshaw, because after, okay, so I grew up on Sex and the City, but after, like, living in New York, I realized how there's so many holes in the story. And I feel like I am, like, I try to be, so Carrie never took the subway. She literally just walked in 7-inch heels on the sidewalk. And, like, there's just so many little things that I'm like, that would just never, not to mention her, the size of her apartment for her job. Like, she was the OG freelancer. Yeah, no kidding. And, like, lives in this massive just Upper West Side apartment or whatever. There's a whole lot of holes in her story. And I kind of strive to be the Carrie Bradshaw of our generation. That makes sense. So.
Got it. No, I love that.
Okay, so we're going to pause the episode really quickly so I can talk about literally one of my favorite things on the planet, Anchor. So if you haven't heard about Anchor before, it's basically the easiest way to make a podcast, period. Let me just explain to you what they have. First of all, it's free, which, like, nothing's free anymore. So I feel like that's already your number one winner. Second of all, there's, like, all these different creation tools on the platform where you can make your own podcast and, like, you can record and edit it right from your phone or your computer, which is, like, crazy because you don't need all this fancy equipment. And like I said, it's free. So you're saving money that way too. And then my personal favorite thing about Anchor, and, like, the main reason why I use it, is because Anchor will literally distribute your podcast for you. So it can be heard on all different platforms that, like, basically any podcast can be distributed. So it can be heard through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many, many more. So all you do is submit your podcast link and they literally distribute it everywhere for you, which is incredible. And overall, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So it's super easy. I can't recommend it enough. I personally use this every week and I just love it so much. I recommend it to every one of my friends that wants to start a podcast. Even my brother uses it. So it's very user-friendly and I definitely recommend. So be sure to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So don't miss your opportunity to make an awesome podcast and download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now let's get back into the episode. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Mwah.
Yeah. That's so true. I love how you actually, like, explain the real tea on Carrie, because I feel like growing up, all, like, a girl wanted was, like, her life.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, like, almost unrealistic.
Myself included. And when I came to New York, when I first moved there, I was like, okay, Carrie Bradshaw lied about so many things.
Yeah. You're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Why is my apartment not this big?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Katie and I actually met for the first time and the only time I've met you in person, right?
In person. But it's, like, so hard with, it's tough with us because I feel like I've met you, like, you know, years ago.
I know, like a gazillion
times. But, yeah, in person was in New York when you came.
Yeah, it was in New York.
Yeah.
It was at Catch. How, like,
New iconic. York
of us. Iconic. And I'm pretty sure we probably had the Hit Me cake. Probably.
Yep. 100%. Yeah.
And I remember, because I had listened to your podcast prior, and, like, you have the most soothing voice ever.
Ooh, I try. I mean, that's the thing. Like, people tell me that, and I'm like, now there's all this pressure on me. I'm like, oh gosh, is my voice good today? Like, I need to make sure I have a good podcast voice today. Like, you know.
Yeah. So I have to ask, like, since your podcasts are so unique and they're solo, do you have to be in the mood to record? Do you have, like, a certain day when you're like, oh, this is podcasting day? Like, do you have a pre-podcast ritual?
Yeah, it's kind of tough because, like you said, I am a solo podcast, so it kind of all feeds off of my energy. No one else, really. I mean, of course, yeah. I get my inspiration from so many people. And a big premise of my podcast is looking up historical stories of people that inspire me, which... When I honestly say that, I think people are like, oh, that's kind of cheesy and weird. But like, I'm a big storyteller. So I really look into people that something, that really took a stand for something. And it really makes me inspired. So what I do kind of like, you know, pre-show ritual is kind of like around Monday, Tuesday of the week, I start asking my followers either, you know, just who should I look into or what should I talk about? And then I kind of gear it from there. And I'm always feeding off of what people want to hear about. Because of course, I'm living my life, but there's people out there living a completely different life or wanting to know what I'm doing. And especially when I'm in New York, a lot of it has to do with my dating life. And I'm super open and honest to just about what it's like to live and really date in New York. I'm like, guys, here's the tea on my last date. Like, here's how it went. I've even had guys reach out to me and be like, oh, I didn't know that's how you felt about our date last week. Like, I've had like real things like that, but I'm like, you know what, for the sake of the podcast. And then I record every week on either Wednesday, so like today, or Thursday, and I post on Thursdays. This is the kind of week where I'm going to record and post tomorrow because I'm like, you know, but I like to think my podcast is very much like I'm a big journaler, big diary person. Like, I write down everything because otherwise I will forget what I do and what I say and what I eat. And I need to know everything, you know, for the archives. Yeah. I've documented 10 years of my life on YouTube. So the same goes for my journal. And I feel like my podcast is kind of like a spoken word version of that, where I really just kind of unload my feelings and my thoughts. And like, people are, you know, surprisingly are like, wow, Katie, like, you are doing, they're going through the same exact thing I'm going through. And I just needed someone to say it and put it into words. And somehow, I don't know how it happens, I kind of just like go into a trance for 45 minutes and record, you know, longer than that, but I edit it down to 45. It's just kind of a diary entry. And I'm always shocked that I'm able to talk that long by myself, but you'd be surprised. You would be surprised.
I know. I would say, like, I feel like podcasting, I don't know if you agree, but I feel like podcasting has really opened up the whole taboo about like dating. Like, I feel like this is where influencers and like creators just feel the most comfortable talking about their actual dating life. I don't know if it's because like it's just through voice.
I think that's
it. Or it's just it's a more comfortable form of like content for them. But like, I feel like every single podcast that I listen to like has some element of dating to it.
Yeah. And honestly, like those are the kind of podcasts I like to listen to, honestly. Same. Along with like true crime and then, you know, the girls that I love to follow and I'm friends with that I love talking, you know, hearing them talk and whatever. But I find for some reason, I mean, there's full podcasts dedicated to just dating. Like, We Met at Acme is a great New York City based.
It's one of my favorites.
One of my favorites as well. Very similar to yours with the polls and everything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love your polls, but I also love her polls. Just even on Instagram, just viewing all these taboo things. And there's somehow, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head saying like, you know, when our faces aren't visible, it somehow gives us the confidence to talk about things we wouldn't normally talk about. And I feel like with hers, it's the same thing.
Yes. Well, I remember when I first listened to hers, I literally binged like every single one because I could resonate with her. I was like, oh my gosh, she's so real. Like, she's talking about stuff I've always wondered, or like, I feel like her dating stories were like way crazier than anything I've ever experienced. But I was like, wow, girls deal with this too. Like, she's upset about that. Like, I've been upset about that, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And it like opened up a whole new like pool to like,
right,
like validating people's feelings, which I thought was so cool.
No, I agree. And even just kind of for me growing up on YouTube, I've been on YouTube for 10 years. I love that platform so much, but there were certain videos I'd put out kind of being honest about dating where I got completely bashed. Like, people were just so unkind to me. Yes, because there's just something about people. Here's the thing. It's like with podcasts, I feel like you really grow a very intimate community of people that really follow along, and they can listen kind of in confidence of no one knowing that they're listening. And, you know, we can create, you know, our content without people. There's not a comment stream necessarily. You know, there's no comments below the video that really, or below the podcast per se, that really guide the conversation. Whereas I feel like on YouTube, you know, one negative comment, people really feed off of it, or either people just sometimes even see my videos about sex and dating in their suggested, and they don't even know me and click on it just because they're feeling just this hatred and need to let it out, or I don't know. So I feel like on the podcast, there's just this kind of unspoken thing where it's like, you can say whatever you want to say, people can listen, people can resonate or they don't have to listen and they're not going to comment about it, you know, per se.
So how do you feel comfortable like putting yourself out there in that way? Like, how do you feel comfortable talking about sex or talking about maybe getting rejected about a guy? Like, how do you like build confidence too? Because I'm sure you're not like that like 24/7. So I'm like, how do you build yourself up to like share those kind of experience of you've gone through?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it kind of took for me dipping my toe in it and talking a little bit about the subject. Honestly, around like sophomore year of college, I had a lot of confidence in the subject just because I was like, you know what? Because at that time in college, you're like, you know, you don't really have the idea of like, oh, a future employer is going to see this. Like, you don't really think about that until like senior year. And you're like, oh, shoot, I have videos about sex on YouTube. And like, I mean, I'll be the first to say it did not impact me getting hired by a very legit company, first of all, want to say that. But I feel like for me, it was just kind of dipping my toe and being like, I was in college in the heat of frat boys and sorority stuff. And I was like, people are like, this is all my friends freaking talk about these days. Why is no one talking about this on YouTube? Because, for example,
I mean, literally no one on YouTube talks about
it. And I understand it has to do people because it really does reflect on you and your opinion on things really reflect. For me, I'm so pro like, do whatever you want with your body that makes you happy and makes you feel powerful and whatever. Some people don't share that. I get so many hate comments still about old videos I made, you know, and of course your opinions change. It's another thing because YouTube videos kind of stand forever. And it's like, if your opinion changes, it's like you need to just delete the video, I guess, or it just kind of is there forever. And, you know, so, but I think in terms of just why I do it, I think there's just so many things that I wish I knew. And I feel like everyone says that, but there's just certain things that really no one tells you. I've even talked about just stories where things just really weren't fair, when either someone took advantage of me or when just someone made me feel really, just feel a lack of confidence. And I think those are certain things. People talk about like, oh, here's how to be good in bed, blah, blah, blah. But no one talks about, okay, this happened to me and it made me feel really bad about myself. Or like, this person rejected me and I don't know what I did wrong. And there's just certain things no one talks about that I think is just such, it makes you feel so alone. It makes you feel like you are the ugliest person, you know, or just so inexperienced. And that's not true at all. It's just because no one's talking about it. So...
Well, exactly. That's why I wanted to make polls, because I was like, oh my God, I want to see like if guys like geek out about girls as much as like we geek out.
And
about
do
guys.
They? They you definitely know what I mean? Do, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, I have guy friends all the time that are like, one, constantly voting on my stuff, but they're also like DMing me like, hey, can you like post if like girls are into long hair or like whatever the case, or like if girls like need to have a guy over 6 foot? Like, they're so curious. That I was like, whoa, like, this is like something that no one's talking about. Like, we need to open the conversation more because we're all going stir crazy.
Right. And people, the thing is, it's like you kind of have to be okay with the negative comments you're going to get. Just, I mean, for me, it's almost like I just think about it that the positive outcomes that'll come from it outweigh the negatives times a million. It's like,
got it.
People can say what they want to say about me, but there's always the silent majority that's like, yes, this is amazing. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard or know about Call Her Daddy podcast by Barstool.
Yes, yes.
Like, people call them all sorts of things, but you see their audience is massive. People are silent listeners of the pod. They don't even, like, publicly, like, I've listened to it. I really resonate with a lot of the stuff they say. Will I ever be, like, hashtag daddy gang in my bio? Probably not. But like,
daddy gang.
I still appreciate their content. It's so interesting.
Also, it's like so real. Yeah. And like, literally the way they talk sometimes, like, I have girlfriends that talk like that. And like, it's so funny because I'm like, I literally feel like I'm listening to my best friends. But like, we just don't share that to the whole world.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units.
And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Right. And like, I do have like a line where I'm like, I'll talk about everything
absolutely
until then, just because that's just me. That's what I want to put out there. But I admire, I just love how I will say it's become much more of a thing, especially with TikTok, and like people are getting super confident with being just fully transparent, which I think is great. So
yeah, even I would agree. Like I see some things on TikToks that are like subtly like super dirty or inappropriate, and I'm like, whoa, like is this like a 16-year-old posting?
And it's on my For You page. I'm like, is this really for me? Is it for me, or is this illegal in some states?
I'm like, how is this curated to like my For You page?
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to ask one last thing about the pod. How do you come up with such like unique and like intriguing titles? Like, do you go through a million and you're like, ooh, this is the one? Like, do you ask people for their opinion? Do you just go with your first one?
Yeah, the titles for me is very like, it's something I'll never change. And I've, you know, I've gone through a bunch of like, I was in the process of signing with some agencies or trying out some different things, which I ultimately didn't go with. I'm with one now, but before they were trying to be like, you should probably put more catchy or put more SEO things in your titles, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, the titles are very like, I think about it like, you know, as I said, my podcast is very journalistic. It's very much like what I would write in my secret diary. And I think that each title
that's
would be
literally what it feels like.
Right? Maybe. Okay, good. Thank
like,
God.
For real.
Thank God, because that's the whole plan with what I was doing. But each title kind of feels like it would be the title to my journal entry. Because I do, whenever I write a journal entry, I always have like something on the top. So when I'm scrolling through or scrolling, LOL, when I'm flipping through, I can find what I'm looking for. And so I try to make it kind of not fully sum up like everything I'm talking about, but just, you know, one big detail or one big story. And I try to make it because I want people to also be able to feel confident posting that they're listening to said thing and not for it to give away everything that's super juicy and people don't want to broadcast that they're listening to it. Or, you know, if someone's listening to it on Spotify and it shows you, you know, what so-and-so is listening to this, I want people to feel confident that it's not something super like, but it still is super just honest and transparent. And so I mean, there's not really it definitely takes me a bit, honestly, while I'm editing the podcast, which I kind of do as I go, which I think is different. I always record it and as I
Wait,
go
you do?
Yeah, which I think it only works because I do it by myself, so I'm just sitting here
kind of like, oh, that's stupid.
I'm like, let me say that again. But for the most part, honestly, you've probably noticed like I stutter, I like mess up, and it's just
all
in there.
No, I love how raw it is.
It's very much just me like saying, okay, I'm just gonna talk and you guys are gonna listen and hopefully it's good. But yeah,
I feel like you're the perfect example of like, there's no excuse why you couldn't have a podcast if you did, if you wanted to. Like, you have no excuse not to.
No, yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, you don't have guests. You don't need to.
You make it work.
Right. Yeah. And, like, of course, there's been options of me maybe networking and bringing on guests and whatever. There's been people that have reached out to me and been like, I want you to be on my podcast, but only if I can be on your podcast. I'm like, okay, that's kind of strange, first of all. But also, I'm just like, I think that's just not really, I just haven't ever felt a pull to do that, like a pull. But that's, that goes to show you can literally just buy a microphone off of Amazon. I'm using a $30 microphone off of Amazon right now. Just plug it into your computer, talk
no excuses, baby.
For 45 minutes. It really doesn't take that long. Like, editing a YouTube video takes way freaking longer, as you probably definitely know. So there's no excuse, honestly.
So I want to like change the path where we're going right now. I want to ask you about L'Oreal.
Okay.
And I know that you've done like a whole video. So if you guys want to like get the real tea, like go watch her video about where you used to work and stuff. But I want to ask, one, when you graduated, why did you want a corporate job?
Yeah.
Because you were already a creator, right? And you were you're capitalizing, making money off of it.
Yep. Yeah. It's tough because I think there was just no question in my mind, honestly, as I was going through college. First of all, going to college was important to me, which a lot of people ask me about that. Like, why, you know, I was successful on YouTube in high school. Why didn't I just go full time with it? Why did I do college?
Yeah.
I was like, well, I also just felt like I was super, honestly, like people will say I was like very mature, but I felt kind of immature socially after high school because I wasn't really popular in high school. I didn't really do much in high school besides make videos. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I think I need to, while I'm young, I don't know how I had this mentality, I need to go to college. I need to have fun, figure things out, figure out what I even like to do. I didn't even know I liked graphic design when I was in high school, and that's my whole thing now. Yeah. So college taught me that. And after college, I was kind of going through that, and I was like, you know what? Okay, me choosing the, quote, normal route of going to college, which not everyone does, but a lot of people do, and it's kind of the normal thing, you know? I was like, maybe I should do the normal career route too. Maybe that's just like what I'm supposed to do. And honestly, there was a lot of pressure just in college with people being like, wait, you're going to use a four-year, college, four-year degree, and waste that by being a YouTuber full-time or like an Instagrammer. And I'm like, wow, you're right. Like, my parents paid a lot of money for me to go to college. Why would I waste that? Now looking back and even talking to my parents about it, they're like, Katie, do you realize none of that was wasted? You gained so much from you gained everything and more than you should have. Like, yes, you know, you got it, whatever. So I took a job.
Like, aside from the, aside from like going to college, getting a job, like, you also gained way more.
Wisdom, from your college social experience. Stuff. My friends are all from college. Like, I'm really happy I did it. Just for it really grew me as a person. It also gave me a lot to talk about, honestly, on YouTube. And I went abroad to Italy. I did all this stuff that I never would have done. So it was good. And I ultimately, because I was doing a lot of work with L'Oreal as an influencer, they brought me to the Golden Globes. I went to London. I went to all these places with them. And we got really close, kind of like a brand influencer relationship. We were super close. They really trusted me. I really trusted them. You know, whenever a product came out, I was the first, like, they really worked with me, and it was so great. It was the best kind of client, you know, influencer relationship I've ever had or ever had at the time. So I was like, oh, I really trust them. And they kind of came to me and were like, well, if you ever want a job with us, like, just, you know, doors always open. We love you. We love your vision. Would love to work with you. And about a week before, so I'm thinking, actually, maybe like, so I graduated in May, so probably like around April-ish, the head of social at L'Oreal called me, or like shot me a text like, you know, hey, do you have five minutes? Yeah, do you have 5 minutes to chat? And I'm like, for you? Yeah, of course, because I was kind of secretly hoping that they would offer me a job because they'd said it a couple times, and I was like, I don't know if that's like just them being nice to me as an influencer, trying to like, you know, butter me up. And she was like, so there's a shift on my team. There's an open spot. I know you're graduating. I know you're coming to New York, because I was already planning that. Would you be interested? No pressure. You'd still have to go through the interview process. Like, I went through the normal interview process, but just wanted to let you know the spot is open and that I would vouch for you, blah, blah, blah. I didn't hear anything after that. I was like, oh my God, yes. Told all my friends. I'm like, guys, like, this is incredible. Like, I'm going to be, you know, working at L'Oreal. Potentially, you know, of course, I like, you know, there was the potential that I wouldn't get it, but I did. And I was working there. And, you know, honestly, part of me, I want to say, honestly, and I've said this before too, it just felt like I was proud of myself for the wrong reasons, I think, because I was doing something. I was doing the thing everyone expected me to do, or like wanted me to do, like in the normal real world thing, you know, how things go. And I was also keeping up all of my other stuff. So I was doing the YouTube stuff. I was keeping up everything, balancing literally basically like just juggling act every day of me waking up earlier than my alarm even goes off to make sure I'm responding to emails for my YouTube stuff, and leaving, you know, at lunch to take calls with my manager and for YouTube stuff, working on all the stuff I was supposed to do. Shout out Evigail, the freaking best, the best of all time. And it was too much. But I thought, like, every time I got super stressed, I was like, Katie, but, you know, you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. Like, this is what you're supposed to do. You have, and like, what if YouTube, I kept being like, well, Katie, you know, what if YouTube fails? What if it's like over tomorrow? What if that, you know, now you have this really awesome, solid job where everyone, you really like everyone. There was nothing wrong with L'Oreal. Like, I loved that job. And I really felt like I walked in every day feeling like, yes, like, this is amazing. But I was also like, my YouTube channel was suffering. I wasn't posting as much. People were like, where are you? I was skipping podcasts. I was like so tired that my eyes were closing while I was recording. Like, it was just not, it was not healthy. So
were you, other than being like exhausted, because I get that side of it, because I'll work the full week and then I come home and the last thing I want to do is edit more after I just edited the whole week. You know what I mean? Or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Do you were you also kind of like, oh, I'm also making like way more as an influencer? Like, did you have that moment too? Were you like, oh my God, I'm not getting paid nearly as much as I could?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, things like that? Because I know influencers can make a good amount of coin.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, and it was like, you have to think about it. Like, I said no to so many things because
of
my 9-to-5, which I will say my 9-to-5 was definitely more like an 8-to-7. So there were certain things where, you know, Abigail would call me or text me and be like, hey, like, there's this thing, but we kind of have to act fast. Like, assets would be due this Friday. And I'm like, it's Tuesday and I have no, because by the time I get home, especially in the winter, there'd be no daylight for me to record or film anything.
Yeah, no.
So I'd have to record everything on Sundays when, or Saturdays, but come on, I had a social life. New York is the freaking best for that, like day drinking and going out. Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to.
It's 1 o'clock, baby.
Right. Look at this. I literally have a glass of wine right here. I'm prepared. But yeah, so like there was zero time / energy to. And honestly, I mean, you probably, it's just like the creative energy at that point. I don't have enough left. Like, you saw, I was visibly so drained in all the videos I filmed, like towards the end. And of course, there were these little thoughts like flickering. I was like, what if I just quit? Like, I imagined myself doing it, but I just like didn't know how to do it. I did it. I was like, today's a day. But you know.
So did you, someone in your position?
Yeah.
Right now. Who, you know, is graduating college and has maybe an offer at a really awesome company, but is also a creator, would you recommend they take the job?
I think it depends on, of course, I want to say, don't do it, you know, be a creator. But I also do think that if I hadn't taken the job at L'Oreal, I wouldn't have known that it wasn't the right move. You know what I mean? I would have, if I hadn't taken it.
You would have been like, what if I would have done
this? Right? Yep. Yep. And now that I, of course, it kind of sucked. Just, I mean, it was great. So I was there for a year and a half. And I didn't realize that I was completely burnt out until probably a year in. So there was like 6 months where I was just debating on how I should quit, kind of, basically. I mean, honestly, it's also, if you are kind of a smaller creator, it's a good way to keep yourself afloat with the salary and the benefits while you're kind of building your empire, so to speak. For me, it was like I already kind of had my stuff and I could have just, of course, done it right out of the gate and just done YouTube and Instagram and, the podcasts that I started. But I think I'm really happy that I have the learnings that I got from just having a corporate job and realizing how, for me, especially a creative person, the hours I was working at L'Oreal was not good for me in terms of like when my brain kicked in creatively. I would, of course, go in at like 8:30. Wake up at 7 or whatever time I had to wake up. And nowadays I start working at 10 and I could never see myself starting to work on a project before then just because my brain is not on, you know. I was in meetings at L'Oreal at 9 and I would be like just completely zoned out. Like so now I think that living the corporate life taught me how I function as a person creatively the best and how long it takes me to like adequately do something. And also I know now from the brand side what brands are looking for. You know, I feel like I got so much out of that. Like, I'm happy I did it and I would recommend.
So what is, let's get into that.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course.
What is a brand looking for?
What is a brand looking
for?
I mean,
what's something that like when you went in and started working, you were like, oh shoot, you guys look at that? Like, what were you shocked by?
Oh yeah. I mean, first of all, I didn't know how many applications there are to look at someone's engagement. And really look
Wait,
at it.
Really?
Like, really see. Mean? Like, it's, of course, you see, you know, when an influencer sends you. I mean, of course, also when you're kind of preliminarily stalking a brand or an influencer as a brand, like a brand looking at influencers trying to figure out who to reach out to for, I don't know, a product launch or something. There's so many things that brands look for that, or at least in the beauty industry, this is a beauty industry, so things are probably different, that I would never expect. Like, first of all, I mean, diversity was a huge thing. Making sure that the people they're bringing in are diverse, you know, either in skin color and ethnicity, but also just their kind of where they are in the world. Also, like if they have kids, if they don't have kids, like their story, the storytelling is super important. It's like every influencer you bring on basically represents you as a brand. So you need to make sure, you know, if this person, like for example, there was a time where, you know, people at L'Oreal were like, well, we don't want to bring in girls that have you know, a lot of plastic surgery, or there's just like little things that like you never would think of that brands are really actually looking at, which is great as a consumer, knowing that the brands I really love are really wanting authentic people that really,
yeah,
you know,
to represent them.
Right. So that was cool to see. Also, I mean, of course, like showing off, like, you know, there's like product integration. So when someone's posting a product, you need to be able to see, like, there were certain posts that they would kind of reject or be like, that's not a good post, when, you know, someone's promoting a foundation and the photo is taken from so far away, you can't even see the person's face. Yeah. And I never, I mean, of course I thought about that, but I think it's also something at L'Oreal that I thought was cool was that they really valued talking to the influencer and finding a common ground between selling their product and matching the influencer's aesthetic and feed, which and vision, have worked with some brands, and I'm, you know, I'm sure you guys have you on your end, where it's like the brand has this very specific vision and they want it done this way, and I'm like, guys, this will not perform. My followers are going to be like, that is so fake. There's no, you know what I mean? And I feel like I've seen like friends of mine or just like other influencers, celebrities posting things, and I'm like, oh my god. That's so unbelievable. And L'Oreal, with all the posts that they ever approved, it was super believable. It was super like, let's find a common ground. Yeah, because ultimately it's like, you know, when a brand is like, oh, this wasn't a successful, or this wasn't a successful campaign, I'm like, yeah, of course it wasn't, because the post looks like an ad. It's like, there's nothing authentic about this. So that was something cool that I learned too.
You mentioned the engagement, like, oh, applications.
Yeah.
What is that?
So there's different things. Companies will typically pay for these, like a lot of money, kind of for like almost like consultants to that are from these different brands to kind of come in and not necessarily sit with the brand itself, but kind of just work on the back end and really look into certain either keywords or people. You know, if a brand is like, so for example, with L'Oreal or with any beauty brand, there's always these products or different launch moments. So like, oh, we're launching a new foundation that is sweat proof or something like that, and we're launching it right before summertime, so everyone invests in this, and it's like sweat proof, waterproof, so people will bring it to the beach or something. So they'll task like their agency or their like agency partner to look into every influencer that lives by a beach or that goes to the beach a lot or is super pro, you know, waterproof makeup or something. And they'll search literally every keyword. And it's not even like just hashtags. Somehow the platforms know just like what people are, the conversations. It's just, it's very high tech. Yes. I never would have imagined this is how it is. But people also, I mean, brands look for who's talking about their brand a lot organically. You know, who is obsessed with this one lipstick, and everybody knows, like all the followers know, like, oh, Katie wears this exact lipstick in this shade. You know, brands want to find that person who already talks about their brand and reward them for it because it's authentic.
Have a natural integration.
Yeah. So that's super important too.
So ultimately, it's kind of like almost this person that just does a crap ton of research.
Yeah.
That the brand doesn't want to take the time to do.
Exactly. And it's kind of like, it's honestly that the machine does a lot of work, like the platform itself.
Yeah.
You kind of push a button. So we took some training courses to learn how to do it kind of ourselves too. So for a bigger search, for like a really important moment, we would have them do the research and send us kind of the research reports. But for like example, like for me, I was like making the captions on Twitter basically. And I would just kind of search myself and be like, oh, what are the hashtags that the kids are using these days? Like, you know, what is popular, you know? And it was a lot of just saved time, to be honest. So
great. Well, I love that you kind of shared your moment at L'Oreal, because I do think it's really unique that you did that as a YouTuber, because I think a lot of people don't go to college or get a corporate job. So that's something I really admired about you, is that you at least gave it a shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you truly don't know until you try, honestly. That's like very true. And it's like, I took that job when I was, what, like 22, 23. I'm 24 now. I've learned from it. I'm still super young. So it's like, I didn't waste like 10 years of my life doing something. It's like, do it once you realize it's not for you. Get the hell out of there. But, you know, don't beat yourself up for trying something ever.
So what do you recommend is the best way to quit a job?
Oh, God. I mean, that was definitely something that I think so for me, honestly, when I did it, it was funny, the reaction. It was like no one was surprised. Because like,
yeah,
they were like, Katie, how, like, people would see me up at all hours of the night posting things, and then I'd be in there like in the meeting, the morning meeting, people would be like, Katie, how are you not like dead right now? I saw you posting last night at 1 a.m blah blah blah. And I think people were starting to kind of catch on. And I even had some coworkers be like, Katie, have you ever thought of going freelance? Like, because the thing is, at L'Oreal, we were hiring a ton of freelancers. Like, we were paying freelancers to create stuff for us. And I was like, every time that I would work with these people, like, I was setting up some of these contracts and working with them and hiring, like, retouchers or photographers. Yeah. I was getting, and like, I was just like, I don't know why, but I was so mad while I was doing it, because I think I was so jealous that they were doing this full time. And I was like, wait, if I'm getting angry at the people that I'm hiring just because I'm like, oh, you, like, I would do a better job of this. Like, oh, they're so unprofessional with this. I would do such a better job. Like, when you're starting to say that to yourself a lot, that's when you gotta go. That's when you gotta maybe stop being so bitter and do it yourself, because
there's, I love that.
You know, I was going home to my friends and my parents and complaining about, oh, you would not believe this unprofessional graphic designer I had to deal with. And they're like, Katie, how about you just, you know, do it yourself maybe and stop complaining so much. But going about, I mean, to answer your question, how to quit, it was definitely something that involved me rehearsing it in the mirror a lot, an embarrassing amount of times, because it just made sense for me to first tell my manager, like my direct report manager, then tell my coworker, my like direct, because I, and on my team, there was only three of us at the time. I was a part of a bigger team. We sat with marketing, like a big team, but my actual little team was just social. So we had three people. So it was super important for me to tell them first and then tell the VP of the brand, which was super terrifying. Honestly, like I texted her assistant because I'm like close with her. We're still close in age, I guess. And I was like, hey, does she have like 5 minutes today? And she's like, well, really, no. But if you catch her, like maybe, I was like, okay. I was like, it's really important. She's like, I think I know what it's about. But like, you know, so I caught her basically in the hallway and I was like, do you have 5 minutes? It's really important. And I've never been like, it's really important before. Yeah. So she was like, oh my God. So I told her, and everyone was super excited for me. And like the VP cried when she like gave this whole speech. She was like, we just can't wait to see what she does. And it made me cry. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, it was overall like the best company experience. I have nothing but the best things to say about L'Oreal. I think the atmosphere there, being a like basically female found, you know, female run company, basically like 80%. I'd say my manager was a guy, but he was a gay guy. So, I mean, you know, they're all, everyone's pretty feminine at L'Oreal. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, of course, there's like drama and whatever, because, you know, a lot of estrogen and whatever, you know, but there was a lot of love there. And I think that made it easier for me. But nonetheless, it was still just a really awkward conversation. There's no way around it. My manager was actually, our meeting that we were sitting in was him telling me about all the goals he has for our team and me having to say, wait, can I just say something really quick?
I'm
putting in my 2 weeks. So imagine how awkward that is. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. Did you ever have any person in your life, like, for instance, your parents or maybe a roommate, like whatever the case may be, did you ever have anyone being like, ooh, I don't think you should do that?
Like quit my job, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So here's how it kind of went. Monday, I was like, I need to do this. You know, I need to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to text all my friends.
I'm over it.
I'm going to text everyone and be like, I texted everyone individually, like my best friends in New York. And I was like, so here's what I think I should do. What do you think? All of them were super supportive. They were like, Katie, you're miserable. All you do when we get together is talk about how much you hate your job. So maybe you should do, I didn't hate it, but you know how just miserable I was, honestly, as a person, you know, through doing two jobs at once. I was always tired, always complaining about how tired and frustrated I was and whatever. So that was like, my friends were like, do it. My parents, I called next and I was like, I phrased it like, here's what I'm doing. Not should I do it? I was like, here's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
They sensed that this was like important to me. Yeah. But they were still like, well, Katie, you know, we're your parents. So we have to say, what's your backup plan? Do you have enough money to support yourself? Because that's really, New York's so expensive. My rent is actually insane. So, you know, there's things like that with them. But, and then of course, great timing, Abigail, my manager, was in the city.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, we were getting dinner anyway, and I came to dinner and I was like, so I have something to tell you. I'm thinking of quitting my job. I kid you not, we had dinner Wednesday night. I quit Thursday morning. So it just took talking to my friends, talking to my parents, talking to someone that has known me on the business side of things for my whole life.
She's
basically
the perfect person to talk to about that.
She's so level-headed about it. She convinced me. Like, she knows. She's the reason why I did it. And I have not looked back. It's been since November. So it's been a pretty decent stretch. So
quick question about that, because I think it's so cool. And I know Abigail personally as well, which is Katie's manager. She's also Alicia's manager, the person that I work for. I want to ask, how comforting or how cool is it that Abigail and just the whole Matter Media Group team was so supportive of you working a corporate job, but also doing your full-time job? Like, I actually don't think I could ever picture anyone being so supportive of that.
That was another talk about scary conversations. I was like, Abigail, because I love them so much. Like, but I think about it from like a business perspective. It's like they, you know, I was finally like after 4 years of college, you know, 4 years of me saying, oh, I have an exam, can I send you this asset a day late or things like that?
Yeah.
Me then graduating and be like, so I'm going to have a 9-to-5 job now that is not related to you guys at all. I had the conversation. And also, let me even say, while I was working at L'Oreal, I could not work with any competitor brands being beauty, so like makeup, hair, or skin. None of those I could work. I couldn't work with any of those because it was a direct competitor, because L'Oreal, I was working under L'Oreal, it's kind of complicated. There's like so many brands. But my specific kind of sector was hair, skin, and cosmetics, so I couldn't work with any brands. So I was like, Abigail, hi, I'm taking this job that's going to take all my time, plus I can't work with any of these brands. Do you still want to be my manager? And she was like, Katie, of course we'll support you. I was like, I was getting ready for her to be like, this is it, you know? And
you're
she
like,
believed.
I'm naming my first
I don't know. I don't know if half of her or part of her was like, she's not going to make it. But like, no, I mean,
yeah,
it was like, I look back and I'm just like, I can't believe she even, like, they even, whatever. But they're just the best. And you know that. They're literally the best.
Yeah. But why are they the best?
I mean, so it was kind of complicated because when I started out on YouTube in 2009, I didn't get, you know, started with a manager until probably like 2 years in. And I was with a different management that Abigail worked for or worked with. I don't even know if you know this full story.
Yeah.
You probably do. But then, you know, honestly, like, just being candid here, there was a few like just issues with that management. I felt that there was a lot of holes in it. I didn't feel like I had a lot of attention, which as an influencer is really important. You need to know that this team is like at any waking minute can help you with something or make sure, you know, if you have a question. That's like the whole point of a manager. It's a relationship, basically. I talk to Abigail and the team more than I talk to some of my best friends.
All the time.
You know, it's a 24/7 thing. And so you need to feel like you're getting the full attention and love and that you aren't just another client. It's like you're in the team, basically. You're on the team. So with them, I really feel like that's the case. And I feel really honestly so lucky that I know them and I work with them, because like I've talked to, I feel like this is just a very, you probably even heard this, it's like just people now are trying to get management and it's really hard because there's so many people. Unless you are like really taking off, it's like you just kind of have to do it yourself.
I will say, like, for as much as I've interacted and worked with all of them in their group, I just admire the hell out of Abigail and just like what she's built, because like their whole team is so talented and they care, and I feel like they're like my like hometown friends that I've known forever and like I could go to for anything, which is like crazy because it's like technically a working business relationship. But I think that's what makes them stand out so much, and like and they have such an awesome roster, is because like the creators want to be with someone like that.
Yeah. And I feel like we're right. We it's a business friendship. It's like we talk about, it's not all just fun, which, you know, there's some people I feel like who kind of cross the line and their managers are a little bit more their friends than their managers. But it's like, I feel like they all really know me now, especially after all these years. They already know when I'm going to say no to something, or like they've already negotiated. they can just anticipate what I'm going to say and be like, don't worry, we asked if they're okay with blah, 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 or if we could take this out. Like, they already know before I even say, like, hey, which is like just important. They really get us, and they really...
They know you.
Yeah, which is so good. I can't stress it enough.
So if you were a manager, who would you want to manage? Who do you think are some underrated influencers or people that like you're obsessed with that you think are killing it right now?
Well, honestly, I'm really big in like the creative space these days. I've branched out. I'm like ever changing. I was super beauty related, and now I'm kind of shifting towards like all things creative and like hand lettering and all that stuff.
Which I'm like obsessed with.
I just think it's cool, and it's something that no one really does. I'm like, hey, I just want to film myself writing. People are just in love with that. I don't know what it is, but it's like it's like ASMR, but like, you know, it's just something therapeutic. It's therapeutic. Yeah. So I think. There's a lot of untapped creators there. There's a lot of people online that are not managed, that are creative types like that, where there is such a need for just, you know, for, I just think with product, especially being at the forefront of a lot of influencers working with brands, there's a lot of product involved. And, you know, with that, I feel like there's so many brands that should be using these influencers to market their new markers and their new, there's just so many brands that I've just seen that don't really do influencer campaigns that really should be doing it, like these specialty different art supplies, like different just so even true. Art brands. I've never seen like a, I mean, I guess maybe they don't for some reason don't need to do it, I don't know, they don't just have a lot of budget maybe an influencer, but there's certain art brands I think really should be, you know, because there's some videos of people just journaling online that have millions upon millions of views. And these people are just like having fun. They don't know how to like manage really everything. And they don't know how to ask for money when they need it. Or, I mean, yeah. And these are videos that I will say as a YouTuber and creating content where I always want people to watch the whole thing, of course. But people have very different attention spans. And people, you know, we're lucky if someone will watch even 3/4 of our video. It's like no one makes it to the end anymore. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So with those creators, I watch the whole video and I let it play till the next one. Like, I'm so into it. So I feel like there's just such a need and an untapped community there.
Yeah. So you would kind of dive into that community.
Oh, yeah. The creative realm. I mean, and even think about it. I have so many ideas for this. I'm like, they could do a masterclass, like an event.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's the same thing as makeup artistry. And there's a huge, of course, makeup artistry is huge on YouTube. What about the regular artistry? What about the Bob Rosses of the world that are just creating their art and people are just obsessed with it? So, yeah.
Completely. No, I love that. I think it's such a unique thing, especially because, like you said, like, I hardly see any, like, everyone does, like, the fashion, everyone does the beauty, whatever the case may be, but I think that's so cool because it's something that, like, not everyone's doing. But even for me, like, I'm still so interested in it as a viewer.
Right. No, same here.
So who are you just a fan of? Like, whose content do you love consuming besides, like, the creative community? Just, like, who do you love? Like, who do you feel like you're their friends? Like, who do you think's killing it? Like,
oh,
who should be bigger? I love asking these questions.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I, like, have my core people that I watch and that I'm obsessed with. Okay. Like, I really feed into. So a lot of them are creative types. But, like, on the other realm of things, I really love Amy Lee is one of my favorite people right now. She kind of, honestly, our content's kind of similar, I'm not going to lie, in the sense of, like, she's super transparent about things. Super open, just like answers questions. But the thing is, I mean, about her, I feel like I learn more than I learned in school listening to her videos or watching her videos because she
really,
so she's super like something that I feel like some YouTubers do this, some people don't at all. Research before they talk about things, really find out, like, you know, I'm not just talking or speaking out of my butt here. I'm like, this is something.
Yeah.
Here is the reason why you're feeling like this. You know, not just like, I'm going to talk about how sad I am today. It's like, oh, I am maybe this feeling or I'm in this headspace because of this. And she really is just super like diagnostic. She really like looks into things and is like, I mean, of course, she's not a licensed therapist, but she feels like she is to me. I love her. It's also very aesthetically pleasing, which is important. And she like lives in this amazing apartment.
Duh.
Yeah, she lives in LA somewhere. Amazing apartment. She's just incredible. Has blue hair. Like,
yeah,
I'm just
gonna have to creep on her vids.
No, creep on her.
Any new people?
I love her. I also love Claire Marshall, who you might have heard of. She's an OG. She doesn't post as much anymore, but I respect it because all her content is just so good whenever she posts it. So I love her. I even watch like old videos of hers. Like I have people like that where I just watch, you know, old videos because I'm
her literal what's in my bag from years ago. Is my one of my
she was
videos.
Like, I'm sure you can agree with this or like relate to this. She created all of these editing styles that now everyone uses. Yeah. She was the one who pioneered, like, you know, like the writing on top of the video that I do, that so many people do.
Yeah.
She did that first. Like, hands down, she did all this stuff, and then all of us are just like, ooh, that's kind of a good idea. Let's do that. And she like definitely knows that everyone just like were inspired by her editing style. She's just like, she would put out a video and I'm like, how on earth? I'd like Google, like, how do you do this? And I like have been editing videos as long as I've been like alive, so I don't know.
She's awesome. I'm like obsessed with her to this day.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so let's just go over these polls really quickly and we'll wrap it up.
Ooh, okay.
Katie came up with some poll questions and we want to see what people voted. So the first one is, if a guy uses a quarantine pickup line on apps, is it that a turnoff? What is it for you?
So it depends. I hate to say it, but like it depends on like, honestly, for the most part, I'd say no. Or it is a turnoff. It's like a no from me. But I would say it depends. It is a turnoff, but I would say points for creativity. It'll depend on how creative it is or if it's something I've seen in a meme like a million times. Yeah. Like someone was like, hey, like, do you want to quarantine together? Or like just little things like that. I'm like, okay, that's creepy. But if something's like really creative and I'm like, but I also whenever I see these, I think, oh, he's definitely copied and pasted that to everyone.
Yeah. See, I don't like that. I like knowing like, oh, this is personal to me.
Right. Yeah. Or like I like when people comment on like either prompts or pictures or something and it's personal. So I feel like overall.
So you're a Hinge user.
It's a no. Oh, I'm a huge. Yeah. I'm on Hinge. Yeah. I'm a little bit on Bumble. I like look through it. I haven't been on a Bumble date, but I've been on probably when I was in the city. Like this wasn't happening. I was going on at least 2 dates a week. Honestly, like
legend.
It was. I love dating. I like think it's so fun. So,
do you like it just to go and like meet new people, or are you like trying to find the one?
Oh, it's definitely just meeting. It honestly is just such a confidence booster, and like
really
kind of morale. Like it. You know, for me, it's like, I feel like there was a time in my life where I was so closed off and so nervous about, you know, guys and dating and just like putting myself out there. But once it's one of those things where once you kind of do it, get the training wheels off, you're like, oh, I just want to like go on a bunch of dates. See, because the thing is, how are you going to know what you're looking for if you don't kind of figure out what you're not looking for? So for me, it's like I go on these dates afterwards. I'm like, oh, you know what? He's not what I really am looking for at all. Like this was a huge red flag. Number one, it's content for me to talk about and kind of like talk to, you know, and it's like, oh, if you guys don't have the time or the energy to go on 2 dates a week, I'll tell you what I learned from mine. And like, you know, there's just, it's good content. It's also like just super good for me externally, you know, just to like figure it out and see what's out there. And New York is just so exciting. It's so fun to go on dates. Like it's so fun.
Yeah. So. I love that you said that. It's actually encouraging me because I feel like even a few days ago, I was recording a podcast with someone and they were like, oh my God, you should totally DM this guy. I think he would be perfect for your podcast. And I'm like creeping on him and I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's cute. But like, great excuse to DM him about the podcast.
Oh
like,
my God.
Content.
Yes.
So it's so funny that like we can kind of use that as an excuse because then it doesn't seem as real or like.
Well, scary. Yeah. I mean, so anyone out there, make a podcast. DM a guy you think is cute.
Make a podcast.
Be like, hey, do you want to meet up in podcast / I'll just like grill you to see if you're my type, you know?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Okay, so actually 47% said yes, that it is a turnoff. 53% said no.
Oh, wow. So it's really split. I think it really just depends on what it is. Like what?
I agree.
What's the line? It's important.
Okay, can you be an extrovert but still like to be alone a lot?
Yeah. So that's just like kind of the story of my life. So I was just curious if other people feel that because I'm super extroverted. Like when I'm in a social situation or even like around strangers, like when I'm with other people, period, I'm extremely extroverted. I'd say I'm kind of one of those extroverts that's a little bit introverted though, like in the sense of like I don't feel like I need to be the loudest person in the room. I don't feel like I need to be the one always talking, but I'm super okay with other people and like being confident with people I don't know. And I'm a good public speaker, things like that. But I do love to be alone, like a lot. Yeah. Like that's why this is kind of bugging me, because I want to be alone more, you know, this whole quarantine thing. So,
yeah. I would agree. Like, I do love, like, even just when I'm alone in the car, like, to reboot. Because, like, when I'm with people, like, I just, like, have all this energy and I'm so extroverted that, like, when I go home, I literally, like, collapse.
Yeah, you're so on that it's like.
Yes.
Yeah, you need that time.
93% said yes, that you can be an extrovert but still, like, alone time. So, yeah, easy money.
Good.
Are Raisinets an underrated candy?
I feel like people are going to say that it's bad, because that's just like the typical like reaction. They're my favorite. And my friends are always like, Katie, oh my God, that's what grandmas eat in the freaking nursing home.
See, Alicia and Ashley taught me every time we go to the movies, we get popcorn and then put the Raisinets.
Oh my God. No. Popcorn. Yes. Yes. Okay. Finally, someone understands. It's the perfect balance between salty and sweet.
It is.
It is just iconic. There is nothing that compares.
Yes. Actually, 35% said yes, that it's an underrated candy. Honestly, more than I was expecting. So
that's way more. I was expecting 1% or like zero. So.
Okay. And then have you worn jeans during quarantine?
So I have not. I have not worn real pants. I wore a dress like 3 days ago, but it was like a very comfy dress, and it was like for a photo I needed to take, but I have not worn real pants. I wore jeans the day that I left New York to leave, and that was almost 5 weeks ago, or like 4.5 weeks ago.
See, I've worn jeans, but I feel like it's only because of like being on camera, or I felt weird and I wanted to get out of the funk. So yeah, 48% said yes, so I feel like that's more than I was expecting as well.
Yeah,
I think that's it. That's the last thing I wanted to ask you.
Wow, that was so fun. I feel like we like really hit a lot of like, you know,
I know.
Important things. Also like just fun things, you know.
Yeah, I hope some, especially if you're a creator or aspiring creator or want to work in this kind of space, hopefully you learned a little something. Where can everyone follow you and listen to your podcast, Pimp Yourself?
Yeah, so basically if you just kind of search my name on all of social media, it'll come up. So that's K-A-T-Y. Bellati, like Pilates. I always say that because everyone always pronounces it wrong. So that's B-E-L-L-O-T-T-E. Anywhere, really, just kind of search that. The podcast is called Thick and Thin, which I would not imagine.
Please go listen.
You would not know, you know, what went into coming up with that name. But yeah, if you search that on like literally anywhere, it'll come up. And yeah, that's kind of it. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Katie, for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah, it was honestly an honor. I'm like so obsessed with your content. So it was so fun to interview you. And if you don't follow me already, follow me on my Instagram at TK's Juicy Polls, because without following me, you can't vote and be a part of the podcast. Hope you guys have the best week ever. Be sure to make someone else's day. Peace.